about survival.
And this guy's a mark.
It's called the Midwest because every single thing in it is mid.
Dr. Britt Baker,
D.L.D. You're listening to the Midwest Marks Podcast.
Welcome one, welcome all to the Midwest Marks Podcast. It is I, the T-Spiller, and tonight we have my co-host Izzy here, who's also our tech person, who's making sure that everything is running how it should be. But, you know, we're going to be going over Dynamite, which was a crazy week as far as AEW wrestling was concerned, heading into Forbidden Door. So, Izzy, introduce yourself.
What's up? All right. So first time being on the actual podcast. This is pretty new for me. I'm gonna give you my insight. I'm gonna give you my freaking mind. Yeah, there you go. There we go. I had no lack of a better term. Here we go. I'm about to do that. All right.
So with that being said, let's get into the first segment, which was basically it was American Dragon himself, Bryan Danielson, you know, coming out to talk to the crowd, and he did address his injury. He did confirm that he would not be showing up to Forbidden Door, no blood and guts, because he wasn't cleared by the doctors to do so, but he didn't come empty-handed because he did address his would-have-been opponent in Zack Sabre Jr., and, you know, he basically was saying, listen, as much as I would love to kick this guy's head in, and as much violence I would love to cause at Forbidden Door and Blood and Guts, don't do that. But I got a surprise for y'all. And that's when he teased, you know, an arrival of a new talent coming in that's going to be taking on Zack Sabre Jr. this Sunday at Forbidden Door. But of course, in true heel fashion, he did not tell us who he was going to be facing. So we're going to have to tune into the pay-per-view this Sunday to see who it is. But if you ask me, I think it's going to be the former WWE talent known as Cesaro, because that's the only, like, a technical wrestler that I can think of that's good enough to go toe-to-toe with Zach in the ring, other than Gargano, which I don't think is Johnny Gargano. So I'm going to go with Cesaro. But, like, what was your thoughts on the first segment?
I liked it. Though it was kind of at least that, because I hadn't really known anything prior. It was kind of a letdown for me, because I actually thought he was going to be in the Forbidden Door or even Blood and Guts or anything. I honestly just find it awesome how he's still, you know, after the injury, you know, he's still down to like wrestling, everything, all that other stuff, man. I thought that was actually pretty cool. As for the mystery thing, I was actually ready to hear who it was, but he kind of just left us hanging. I'm just like, oh come on, man. at least give us like a clue or something like that. But as for who the person is, I honestly can't have no best guesses. I'd go with your guess, like Cesaro or something like that. So sounds interesting.
So at the first match, you know, it was the trios match with, you know, it was like Will and Aussie Open versus Mr. Orange Cassidy and Trent Beretta and Ace Romero himself of New Japan. Now, I'm going to be honest with you. This match was a lot of action going on. All six men really did their thing. But for me, it kind of took a while for me to get into it, because Orange Cassidy wasn't his usual self. Like, it took him a while to warm up. But once he flipped his switch towards the end, him and Will really got into it, and they gave us a preview of what's going to be happening at Forbidden Door this Sunday. But I got to say, Will really has been impressing me like these last few weeks since he's been in AEW, and he's showing why he's one of the best wrestlers in the world for him to only be 28 years old. Like, he's going to be around for a long time in wrestling, and who knows, maybe if he ever left New Japan, Tony Khan can sign him full-time in AEW, because I would love to see him put on some bangles over there with the loaded roster they have. But I think him and Orange, they're going to steal the show Sunday night, because they're going to be the sleeper match that ends up actually stealing in, like, the whole shebang. So that's my pick on that. But, like, how did you feel about this match overall?
I loved it. Though I'd have to, I'd say the opposite. I thought it for Cassidy, I thought it was like really good. Cause like there was this like, oh man, there was this like move that they did where they jumped out of opposite sides of the ring and then landed on both of their like opponents and everything. I thought that was pretty awesome. Oh man. I think that was pretty much it for me. Pretty much. So far, pretty good match, pretty good.
Okay. So, and honestly, you know what I'm saying? Like, this show was, like, very promo heavy tonight. And so they had, like, a lot of backstage interviews and a lot of interviews in the ring. But the next segment that we're going to get into is, I believe, it was the, like, Christian promo, correct?
Yeah, that one. He was talking about...
First of all, Christian, let's talk about the fact that Christian showed you what it's like to be a heel in wrestling in 2022. He showed you how to get money as a heel in 2022 and get yourself over without, well, I ain't gonna lie, he did push the envelope because talking about somebody's dead father, saying that you were basically like an embarrassment to them. Listen, you took it there. But the fact that we're getting this type of promo on TBS in this era where everything is so culture shock sensitive, I was proud of him, and I'm really going to love him as a heel because he's going to be money. And if he can get it together with a Jungle Boy, that match is going to be a contender of the year for like match of the year, in my opinion. But this promo was money, and everything he said, listen, like the crowd was into it. But like, how do you feel about that?
Man, he was so rude, so freaking rude, man. He even took the time, dug deep, and then started talking about his father and saying, "Yo, man, he'd be so disappointed seeing you now and everything." And I was like, "Oh, wow, this dude, no freaking remorse, man, no freaking remorse." Like, especially Luchasaurus. He looked like he was not having it, man.
Luchasaurus, like you could tell they're like home. He was definitely bothered by that, Luchasaurus. But it looked like he was kind of whispering in his ear towards the end. So who knows? Maybe we could see Luchasaurus potentially turn on Jungle Boy as well.
Oh, that would be so crazy. As for the hill thing, I'd say Christian Pills pulls off the hill thing pretty well, man. Like, holy crap. He freaking told the audience to shut up, man. That didn't even help. We just got louder as it went on. Oh, man. Pretty good promo, man. Pretty well.
Absolutely. And as far as the second match, of course, you know what I'm saying, it ended up being, if I'm not mistaken, when I'm looking at my notes. The second match ended up being Pentagon versus Malakai Black.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that one. Yeah.
Listen, I'm upset.
What?
Oh. I'm upset because I wanted Pentagon in this tournament. I wanted him to win. I did not want him to lose, but due to politics, you know, from the company that he's currently signed to outside of AEW, they wasn't going to let him be at Forbidden Door. So I get why he had to lose, but man, were we robbed of a Floyd, because I think that could have been a potential match of the night contender had he been on that pay-per-view, because he lights up any match he's in on pay-per-view or on TV, you know, because he's that dope. But this match, to me, listen, these guys were landing their shots in. They were very aggressive. They were very, like, stiff striking towards each other in this match. And again, Malakai Black showed why he's one of the best strikers in the world, because once he hit that Sin Eater and he caught him on the back of his head, you know, so, like, after he turned around, I knew Pentagon wasn't getting up from that. So, in the end, he's, like, him winning made sense. So, now he's going to go on to potentially win the All-Atlantic Championship, and I hope he does do it Sunday, because he would deserve it after his WWE run. It ended it so horribly, but like, how did you feel about that match overall?
I also wasn't a fan of Penta losing. I really wasn't a fan of that, because at least with the way the match was going, like I noticed that like every move that Malakai was making, he kind of missed. Like he was going from like the rope, like jumping from it, and then he missed. But then when Penta did it, he actually landed it. And then they were like on the edge of the ring. He tried to Malakai tried to do that like kick thing, but then he missed as well. And then freaking Penta even landed that one. I was like, yo, man, I'm ready to see like how I'm ready to see how it ends. But then freaking Penta got pinned, and I was like, oh, well, yeah, that's what I get for wishful thinking, right? But it was overall pretty good match. Yeah,
I can agree with you on that. And you know, next, you know, so like we ended up having a promo. I think it was from. Who was it from? Jay Lethal and his crew. They ended up calling out Samoa Joe. Again, we're getting this match potentially at the next Ring of Honor pay-per-view, which could be July 23rd for the Ring of Honor. That's before this on the pay-per-view, which Tony Khan teased the interview. Well, you know what I'm saying? Like, he teased in his interview yesterday that we will be getting like another Ring of Honor pay-per-view soon. So I hope it is on July 23rd, because that'll give me a good segue leading into All Out for them to give us some dope wrestling action outside of AEW to see what Ring of Honor is going to be like once they get their TV deal set. But yeah, it's looking like we're going to get Jay Lethal versus Samoa Joe for the championship. But he gave him an ultimatum. He said, either you can come back to work and fight me for your championship, or you can forfeit it and going out your business, but I'll be the new Ring of Honor World Television Champion. So how did you feel about this promo segment with him and Satnam Singh and Asanjay Dutterson?
I don't think I saw that one. I'm so sorry.
Yeah, he's the one, like that was the promo that the Giant that you asked me about.
Yeah, sorry about that. I'm so sorry. I actually kind of skipped that one. I'm so sorry.
So, like, you looking forward to that match though between like Samoa Joe and like Jay Lethal, like for the championship. So, like, when he do come back,
definitely looking forward to that. I've seen Jay Lethal wrestle pretty good, man.
And I believe next up, you know, for like the next match on the card, we had wait, was it him? I believe
Shafir versus Storm, or I think I skipped one.
Yes, we had Tony Storm versus Shafir, who, I'm not gonna lie to you, this match was better than what I thought it was gonna be. I think that match is gonna end up superseding Tony versus Thunder at Forbidden Door potentially, because Marina showed me some things in this match that she hadn't been showing. She was a little bit more aggressive. She looked a little bit more fluid. But what surprised me was how she had Nyla Rose next to her. I wasn't expecting her to come out with Nyla Rose, which, in my opinion, if they're going to have them be a duo, what better way to learn how to be a monster than from Nyla Rose herself, who's a good wrestler in her own right within the AEW women's division. But yeah, this match was very hard hitting. And again, Tony showed us why she was one of the best wrestlers in the world when she was in Japan and Stardom, because her strikes were hard hitting in this match. She was really like landing to her shots and she wasn't holding nothing back. And she's the type of talent that we need in the women's division in AEW, somebody who's not afraid to go for their shots and put her body on the line. And that's exactly what they did tonight. And I do think the right person won, because again, going into Forbidden Door, she needed it to look strong against Thunder Rosa. And so for her to be able to get past Marina, I was here for that. And I want to see more of Nyla Rose and Marina as a duo, because again, Nyla has so much unpredictability with whoever's corner she's in. But Thunder Rosa coming out to make the save towards the end, we're going to get a banger between these two ladies at Forbidden Door. And that's a big deal for the women's division to be on the New Japan pay-per-view, the only women's match on the card, which Thunder Rosa pre-show highlighted that, like, they are the only women's match on the card. So it's a big deal for them. So, like, how did you feel about the match? And are you looking forward to this match at Forbidden Door between Thunder versus Storm?
Definitely looking forward to it. Freaking the Storm, I'd say very, very good at wrestling, man. Did you see that freaking kick that she did? Like they said, it just said, like, sent her out of the ring and everything. I felt it was almost as if I was I felt that it was almost as if I was getting kicked. To which, I feel like that would hurt.
Her strong style is very unique because you don't see that often on like primetime television in America. Women getting that aggressive outright as soon as the match starts, like they was going from 0 to 100 within seconds in that match, and that's what made me want to tune in even more. So if her and Thunder Rosa can duplicate that Sunday, oh, we're going to have a potential women's match of the year on our hands with that match.
Definitely.
So like the next segment, we had the baddies, you know, Jade Cargill, Kiera Hogan, and Stokely delivering their message, basically letting it be known Red Velvet is injured. She's going to be out for a while. So they're looking for a third baddie to replace her until she comes back. And again, Jade looked like money per usual. She took out of the scene per usual. Yo, they're doing a really good job with presenting Jade as such a big deal on television for this to be her rookie year. She's already looking more like more of a women's champion than Thunder Rosa. And if I'm Thunder Rosa, I'm taking notes because that's how you look when it comes to being championship material. And Jade presents that every time she's on TV. So who do you think they're going to replace her with as far as Red Velvet, as far as that baddie search that they have going on?
All right. Red Velvet's out. All right. Ah, man. I got no guesses. I really got no guesses.
Say this. I can see them bringing in somebody from the outside if they're going to go that route, because otherwise there's currently nobody in the division that you can have to put beside them, not unless they go with Diamante, who happens to be the real life girlfriend of Kiera Hogan. So if you're going to do that, but I wouldn't necessarily consider her a baddie though. She's more of a brawler. So they can go either direction with this, but either way, I'm intrigued to see what they do with this and who the third member is going to be. And as the weeks go on, they're going to keep playing it out. So I'm here for that, because the women's division, they need this type of intensity, like what they're going to do next and not knowing what's going to happen. So that was a good segment for the women. And of course, we ended up having another segment with, it was Athena and Chris Statlander who countered the promo with the baddies, and in their own little promo, you know what I'm saying, like they end up like mocking Jade and Kiera and the whole nine. But they dropped the nugget in there though. They said, we now have the big babe known as Willow Nightingale on our side. So with that being said, y'all, Miss Willow struck a deal with AEW. She's been signed to the women's division officially. So, do you see them having a trios match out of this? The baddies versus who their third member is going to be versus Athena, Chris Statlander, and Willow Nightingale? Because that's basically what they were setting up.
I can definitely see that. I can definitely see that. Though, oh man. Definitely looking forward to it.
And so the next match we ended up having, it was Silas Young. It was Silas Young versus Hangman Page, the former AEW World Championship versus the former Ring of Honor World Television Championship, which was a clash of New Japan versus the Elite, because we hadn't seen, you know, Hangman in a while. You know what I'm saying? We hadn't seen Silas Young in a while. So for them to be heading into Forbidden Door, you needed a test for him. And this was the type of opponent who was very dangerous and unpredictable, who possibly could have beat him. So he really had to bring it to Silas. And again, I want to see more Silas Young, because he's a Ring of Honor veteran that I can see Tony Khan putting for his Ring of Honor reboot once he gets that TV deal up and running. But Hangman looked great in this match. I think he looked better in this match than he did versus Punk at Double or Nothing. And that's saying a lot. But, you know, he ended up getting the win. And of course, post match, you know, Adam Cole came out, Jay White came out, and they had their promo battle. But not only that, Hangman ended up attacking both of those men until he ended up getting, you know, attacked by both. But who came out next? The Rainmaker, Mr. Okada from New Japan himself, the heart of New Japan. Oh, Okada finally pulled up to the, you know, to the real forbidden door of AEW when we heard the infamous coin drop. And so, yes, it's going to be at Forbidden Door for the IWGP Championship. Okada versus Adam Cole versus Jay White versus Hangman Page. And that's going to be a four-way that I'm not going to miss at all, because either one of those four men can win the New Japan Championship on Sunday. So how did you feel about that segment? Are you looking forward to the match on Sunday?
Definitely looking forward to it, man. I actually really liked it. I really liked that. Especially after I actually forgot again. After what? It was Adam Page won, right? Yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm. I like that though I kind of didn't like how the only thing I didn't like was how the, you know, I guess the, how the match ended, you know, he had to, I think he did that, like, it looked like a lariat how it ended and everything. And then went for the pin. That was one thing I wasn't really, because it felt like it just kind of ended very, very quick and everything. Especially the I did like the aftermath of it. I forgot who was the guy who came out and who was on the market.
It was Okada.
Okay. I really like that one. I'm not too familiar. Since I'm not really too familiar with no main is, but Okada, that was actually pretty cool.
Yes, and the crowd actually popped for him. So can't nobody say, well, who's that? Well, that live crowd, they popped for Okada when they heard the infamous coin drop. There wasn't nobody sitting when he came out, so they were very excited to see him. So that just lets you know the electricity in that match is going to be through the roof on Sunday night, and I can't wait to watch it live on pay-per-view, which I will be watching live on pay-per-view Sunday night. And of course, we ended up getting a promo segment from the Young Bucks and Mr. Kyle O'Reilly himself, who they ended up addressing Darby and Sting about their attacks on them in recent weeks. And it was confirmed that we're going to be getting them in action at Forbidden Door versus Darby Allin and Sting versus Shingo. And I think it was Hiroshi, wait, that was his name. Known as Time Bomb. We're going to be getting them in action at Forbidden Door this Sunday. And that's going to be, again, another, like, tag match that I'm not going to want to miss. So this is going to be even more reason to watch the pay-per-view, because we seeing names that 2 years ago we would have never gotten on the AEW pay-per-view. So thanks to the Real Forbidden Door finally being open, because it's a wild year in wrestling and it's only going to get hotter after Sunday. So, like, but yeah, so like, what was your thoughts on the segment with the Bucks and Sting and Darby heading into Forbidden Door?
Very intense one, I'd have to say. Right. I think they even showed a thing from, like, I think it was called something Rager or something like that. There was this level of Sting where like Sting was like going down. I thought that was awesome. But man, really thought the segment was really cool, especially one thing I'm really hoping for is that the Young Bucks lose. Yeah, I'm kind of just been waiting.
I feel like this is going to be an elite level type of pay-per-view, and the Bullet Club is going to be heavy all over that. That match going to go either way. But I don't see them losing cleanly. But I think if anybody has to take the pin, it'll potentially be Darby Allin. But that match is going to be fire, because any match Darby is in, you're going to get your money's worth. So I'm not worried about that. So I can't wait for that match as well on Sunday. And finally, going into the main event. Hold on, let me see. It was Jon Moxley versus Hiroshi Tanahashi versus Lance Archer. And
I hope I don't got the names.
And Chris Jericho. Listen, for me to see Tanahashi wrestling on television in America for the first time on national television, that shows you how crazy 2022 as far as the wrestling world is. Because who would have thought that 2 years ago when, well, 3 years ago when, you know, Tony Khan first made AEW, who would have thought that we would be seeing 3 years later Tanahashi on TV wrestling next to Jon Moxley? This is ridiculous. And the, like, the standing ovation he got when he came up from the crowd said it all. They don't have to know you, but your presence made people tune in. They were lit up for him when he came out tonight with, you know, Jon Moxley. So that made me even more excited as a fan watching it, because I'm like, wow, imagine what their reaction was live in person. But yeah, this match was what I expected it to be. You know, Tanahashi basically let it be known, listen, I'm teaming with you tonight, but I'm going to outshine you. And he really came off as the star of this match, because he was really putting his work in. Like, he was letting it be known, I'm not here just to, you know, be on TV. I'm here to show y'all why I'm one of the aces, or the ace of New Japan. And that's exactly what he did. But of course, you know, it was a wild back and forth towards the end of the match. But what got me was, after all the craziness from the outside, which Tanahashi did end up getting the win, by the way, he ended up taking the pin for his team, which kind of pissed Moxley off. I noticed how he was pissed about that. But yeah, out of all the craziness that was going on, you had these two men who's going to be fighting for the interim AEW World Championship on Sunday. You know, Tanahashi versus Moxley standing in the ring just looking at each other. That kind of reminded me of Stone Cold versus The Rock back when they saga was going on back in the Attitude Era. Like, the electricity of just that standoff alone was ridiculous. So, like, what was your thoughts on that and the match overall?
I liked it. I liked it. Man, one thing I noticed with Jericho against Moxley, Jericho more had the experience, because there was that one move it was hard to describe it. It was like he like went down and then his Moxley's like neck or head or went up. Into the rope. I forgot what that move is called. But yeah, it was nice. But they were going everywhere inside, everywhere, both inside the ring and out and everything. Freaking Tanahashi.
And of course, who finally showed up at the end? The other JS members showed up, but Mr. Minoru Suzuki himself showed up, and he had to get into. Listen, I am such a fan of Suzuki. And that trios match, oh my God, that trios match is going to be ridiculous on Sunday. Well, guys, this was our review for tonight. Thank you, Izzy, for coming on. I know this is your first time, but you did wonderful. And as usual, we go out the best way we know how, which is 1, 2, 3. Watch out. Alright, so like you gotta like log up.
Okay. Cool. Did way better than me.
Yeah.